Hi, I'm Victor.
And I'm Allegra.
And we want to welcome you to Simply Investing.
We're two mates in our 20s who have learned a thing or two in our young careers.
Definitely from making lots of mistakes.
And our mission is to simplify investing and give you the knowledge and confidence to kickstart your investment journey.
Before we start, a quick reminder that nothing we say is financial advice.
Rather, for educational purposes only.
We are not financial advisors and everybody should invest according to their own circumstances. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Simply Investing Podcast. In this episode, we want to talk about property, and in specific, we want to talk about how you can use something little known, I don't know, but which is basically pulling the equity on your property. And when we talk about that, what we mean is basically, you know, to strip it back to its beginning, when you invest in property, you basically have equity in the property and you also use debt. Obviously, you need to, unless you're loaded, you need to borrow money from the bank to be able to purchase, let's say, a property. And equity is the difference between basically the current market value of your property and the amount remaining on your home loan. So as you pay off your home loan, the equity you have in your home grows. And if the property's value increases, your equity will go up as well. Now, kind of confusing, but I think the best way we can do this and explain this is through using a comprehensive example, right? Let's say you, Allegra, bought a house for $600,000 using a 10% down payment, and you avoided the LMI through the First home buyer's grant. Very good, switched on. So basically, your home purchase price is $600,000 and you put a 10% down, which means you own 10% of the property. Well, right. Technically, you don't own the property. The title deed's in the bank's name. But what we're saying is you have $60,000 in equity in the property and the remaining $540,000 is...
debt.
Yeah. It's how much you need to pay back to the bank, excluding interest, because interest... Right. Over 30 years, bring it up a lot more.
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess off the back of that example, that's the initial equity that you put into the property.
Yeah.
But let's say, for example, over the next 3 years, that property goes up another $100,000.
Let's say $200,000. So the property goes up to $800,000.
Okay.
Yep. And all else being equal, right, your bank loan is still going to be $540,000. Let's just say you haven't paid...
Let's just say you're only paying interest and you haven't paid any of the principal off, so your bank loan's still at $540,000.
Still the same. Nothing's changed. Your bank loan is still $540,000, but your stake in the house has now increased to $260,000, right? Because the property itself has gone up in value by $200,000. So you can see how by using leverage, and we've talked about this in our real estate basic series, you can really amplify your return on cash investment because you've originally only put $60,000 in, but now your equity has increased to $260,000. So when we say pulling the equity in your property, we basically mean you can take out in cash part or all of the $200,000 increase in your property price.
Right. And I mean, I guess, you know, you often see real estate pages and a few other things kind of saying, I bought a property in 2008 and then 2009, 2010. You know, I can guarantee you that 99% of those times, unless someone has, you know, a hugely successful business, whatever it is, or they win lotto, no one can save a deposit for a property, not at least in Sydney, within like a 9 to 12 month period, I think would be near impossible. So generally what people will do is, they will get a bank to come along and do a valuation of their property.
Yes.
And then after that, they will use that bank to pull equity in the form of a personal loan.
Okay.
And you can then use that, you know, portion of equity to then, you know, use that as a deposit on your next property.
Yeah. So basically what that means, I think you're saying, Allegra, is you're borrowing on the additional equity, right? That the property has, your stake in the property has gone up because the value has gone up in price, right? Your valuation, I mean, hopefully the valuation shows a higher number because if it showed a lower number, I don't think you can do that, right?
No, you can't.
So let's say, you know, you're basically borrowing, like you mentioned, in the form of another loan on the increased market value of your property, and you're saying you've used that to purchase another property.
Correct.
Or to invest.
So then, I mean, that's kind of the importance when people say things like, it's really important to not pay above market value for a property.
How do you know?
You've done your research on like comparables and stuff. Anyway,
yeah.
Really important to not overpay on a property. It's really important when you're purchasing, say you're purchasing an existing property, you know, it's important to maybe buy a house that you can add value to, whether that's in the form of slight renovations, whatever it is, because that's a form of adding value to a home and increasing your equity.
Yep.
You know, probably not possible in the current market, but
what about granny flat? It's,
yeah. So things like if you add a granny flat on the back.
Yeah. My parents did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put a granny flat into the back. And does that increase the whole value? Yeah. Okay.
And then you also, on top of that, would have increased rental income. Yeah, so you're increasing your equity. Basically, you're just increasing to some degree the value of, you know, the property. It's probably harder at the moment in Sydney, given the current market, to purchase something that is below market value. But, I mean, there will probably be buying opportunities coming up, given the interest rate increases, the upcoming election and a few other economic factors that will, you know, perhaps lead to some, I'm not going to say bargains, but some deals.
Yep.
Where I think that buyers who have cash will have opportunities to buy property at a cheaper price. And therefore, you know, in the coming years, we'll probably have greater equity built into those properties than those who bought at the peak of the Sydney market.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're telling me, it sounds like, that it is all supreme or it is absolutely key to not overpay for a property.
Well, I mean, I don't personally.
Otherwise, you can't do any of this, right?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, if you're in the phase of your property journey or the phase of your life where your number one goal is to acquire as much property as possible, then your best, you know, power move would be to buy property at below market value so that you can pull equity quicker and you can, you know, go to the next property quicker.
Right.
I'm not saying that if you buy something slightly above market value that it's going to ruin your whole investment journey. No, I'm just saying that if your, you know, tactic or your strategy is to acquire property quickly, well, then you kind of do need, you know, to pull equity and need kind of, you know, that aspect of property on your side.
Yep.
So I think if you do buy strategically, you know, buying interstate, whatever it is, buying a home that needs a renovation, whatever the thing is, the quicker that you can build equity within a property, the better off you are because, you know, the quicker it will lead to your next purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I might rephrase that point, right? So pulling equity, I think it really sounds like it only works if your price has actually gone up in a valuation.
Correct.
Right? Because if it goes the other way, isn't there a thing such as negative equity? Like, can't you go into a deficit with the bank? Like, what if your loan is higher than your value of your apartment or place at a certain time?
Well, that won't matter unless you sell realistically.
Yeah.
But I know off the plan it does. So, I mean, obviously, if you purchase off the plan for $600, you haven't secured a loan yet. So then when you go to get your loan, the bank will do the valuation. And if you've got that negative equity, you will need to pay the shortfall.
Oh, okay.
Which is why buying off the plan can be a risky move.
Depending on the timing.
Correct.
And what happens in the market.
But yeah, if we're talking existing property, I mean, that's probably why I like real estate so much, because it's one of those asset classes that, you know, name another asset class where you can borrow 80% of the money to make, you know, such big returns.
A low interest rate as well. Correct. Because mortgages, because it's asset backed, i.e. your house is backing it or your apartment is backing it, the interest rate is low. In a previous episode, we talked about personal finance. We looked at credit card loans, we looked at car loans, we looked at personal loans, the interest rates there can be upwards of 20%.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, pulling equity is kind of a concept that when I bought my first property, I didn't really understand. But, you know, for those people who own property and have, you know, I think an increase in value that they think might be present with the property, I mean, always speak to your broker or speak to a bank. It's free to get a valuation done through most banks generally.
Okay.
Or your own bank. See what it comes back as. And you know, if you do have an opportunity to use that equity as your next down deposit, And obviously you need to consider your borrowing capacity and a few other personal aspects.
Situations.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great way to kind of secure that next property. And you got to remember as well, right? The rate at which property grows or has grown historically, using that equity rather than saving a deposit to get you in the market quicker on your second purchase, in the long run, will, you know, it's a power play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've done it where you've pulled the equity and stayed in the real estate asset class and have, you know, used that to purchase other other properties. Whereas for me, what I've done is I have done the same thing on my apartment, but I've used that additional cash to invest in, what's so funny, to invest in other assets.
Right. So for all our listeners out there, ignore Victor, we're not financial advisors, but
no,
not recommended, but go on.
In digital currency, but not just digital, like shares as well. Like I've taken that money out and I've invested in other, don't shake your head at me. I think it's a decent move, especially with, well, it depends on how much you buy it for really. But you can see, even just using that simple example above where, you know, your initial 60,000, 10% down payment, you know, has now become 260. If you are able to pull all of that additional $200,000 increase in your property value, you can see how powerful it is to pull equity, especially if you have a productive use for the capital. You're basically accessing low interest debt, which is mortgage. You know, what are rates now? Like mine's like 2-3%, right? You're accessing low interest debt such as mortgages to kind of, you know, use additional money and hopefully generate, you know, a return on that money, right? You through another property, which we know has done amazingly well for yourself, but also recently through the whole market. But it's also as well, almost risk-free, as many mortgage accounts come with what we call an offset account. Basically, an offset account is if you have money in this particular account, it will offset interest on your mortgage, meaning that interest won't be calculated on that portion that is sitting in the offset account, right? So if you pull additional $200,000, like we said in the above example, that will all be interest offsetting if you leave it in the offset account. It just basically gives you more access to cash, where it can be hard sometimes to borrow, using that example once again, $200,000 to start a business or to do something else with it. Your interest rates will generally be, it will be probably be classified as a business or personal loan, and you'll have 10%+ interest. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're backing it through your mortgage, you know, it's 2-3%.
Right.
Right. That's, I think, really key. But with that as well, I think it's also kind of, you know, risky in the way that you should only really do this if you have a productive use for the money or if you kind of know what you're going to do with it. Yes, you can leave it there as an offset, which means that it's just cash.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's worth noting that if you pull equity, it's not free money. You do, you know, it does need to be paid back.
That's right. It does.
So, you know, come say you sell that property for $800,000.
Yeah.
And you've pulled the equity for $200,000. You still need to pay back that $200,000.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's still debt. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. You still only have the $60,000 at the moment. But 100%. I think, you know, if an investor wants to do such a thing, and we both have, and obviously we've highlighted, you know, what we've done with our extra equity that we've pulled, different, very different ways. But I think a few key factors to think about here is, you know, what level are interest rates at? Because this is going to set the opportunity cost of capital. If interest rates are, for example, on mortgages, and I don't think they've been like this since our parents' time, like 20%, 25%, I probably won't want to do that, right? Because I don't know if I can earn 20% in the stock market.
Yeah.
Maybe in crypto. But, you know, there's, you know, like I probably wouldn't want to do that and wouldn't want to pull the equity that way and increase my borrowing and increase my debt. So I think key is to look at what interest rate levels are currently at. You know, what am I going to use the money for? There's really no point if you don't have a plan for the money,
right,
or if you're not really sure what you're going to do with it. And I think the main key here is, do you think you're going to be able to take that, back to the example, $200,000, and are you going to be able to out-earn the interest that you pulled the equity for, right? At 2-3%, many people will say yes, because like you've got a stock that's done amazingly well. Like pretty, you know, basically easy to do that when it's 2-3%. But when interest rates are 25-30%,
it's harder a year, to do that.
It's almost impossible in the current, you know. But then that's why interest rates aren't 30%. You know? So it's kind of, it's all connected in that respect. And I think that's a couple of the key, you know, benefits and also considerations that you need to think about when you are pulling equity. But like we mentioned, it's a great thing to do because it can help you start to accumulate, in your case, multiple properties quite quickly and much easier. And for my case, I've used that money to invest in other assets, which in my humble opinion are going to outpace the 2-3% that I'm being charged on my mortgage. But yeah. Cool. So continuing on from our previous segment, another key factor to consider when you're pulling equity on your property is, you know, at the end of the day, like you mentioned, if you sell, you need to repay that extra debt. And that is what it is. You're taking on a larger debt instead of your original, back to our example, $540,000 loan that you've taken from the bank, you know, you having $60,000 and the total price being $600,000. Now your loan's going up to $740,000, right? Yes, the interest rate is only 2-3%. And yes, if you leave it in an offset account, interest free. But ultimately, what's going to increase is your mortgage repayments on a monthly basis, right? And the key here is to really manage your cash flows because you don't want to be in a position where you become mortgage stressed and where you're unable to meet the additional, or, you know, your lifestyle has to change because you have to pay for the additional repayment because you've taken on, you know, extra debt. And I think that's really, really key here because when you do pull an extra $200,000 in equity, yeah, your repayments do go up quite a bit.
Yeah. So I think it's always, you know, worthwhile sitting down with a broker or a financial advisor, whoever you use, you know, for your property advice or the bank that you're borrowing from, you know, work out the numbers. And before you decide to do something like pull equity and repurchase, is see whether or not you can afford the repayments.
Yeah. And whether or not it makes sense to your own personal, unique financial situation. Now, I understand you want to talk to our viewers about how to actually raise the market value of a property, because there are ways you can do that. We've just been lucky because we've been caught up in the boom that's gone on the last couple of years. But I mean, entering now, I mean, obviously we're not financial advisors, but we caution.
Obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment about, you know, the future of property prices, not in all states, but, you know, Sydney, really Melbourne. And I guess it is worth noting that property cycles are cyclical. So there will be a boom, there will be a bust, they plateau, and then, you know, they increase again. So, and it's also worth noting, I guess, that, you know, Sydney's not the only state in Australia and not all states follow the same property cycle. So I think, for example, at the moment, Perth is kind of in its recovery phase, so prices are starting to slowly increase again, which is obviously the opposite to Sydney, where we're seeing prices cool because we've had the recovery phase, we experienced the boom, and, you know, after a boom, generally there's a slight decrease, or, you know, like a flattening of property prices. Right. They're slowly cool.
Okay.
It wouldn't make any sense to have a market that is on a continuous incline or boom because it's just not.
But I will say, realistic, with like the recent macroeconomic policies from the government, obviously interest rates have, like my mum says, never been this low.
Yeah.
Ever in history.
But I think it's important to note that although interest rates have been low, and they've been low for, I think, what, a 2-3 year period?
Yeah, about that.
You know, generally most people will pay their loan off over a 30-year period.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's also worth noting that interest rates have never and probably will never stay that historically low for a 30-year period.
Yep.
And what goes down must come back up.
Yeah.
Not always, but most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
I mean, I would say that a key, I'm not one to sit on the sidelines when it comes to buying property personally. But for a lot of people, you know, at the moment you would be sitting on the sidelines and, I guess, you know, with the increase in interest rates looming, banks have already started increasing rates.
Yeah.
We've got the upcoming election. You know, you've got issues of inflation overseas as well. There's a whole lot of economic factors that, you know, are kind of looming or impacting the property market. So, yeah, I think, you know, a few ways to kind of achieve increased equity within a property. My first one would obviously be to purchase.
Buy low, sell high.
You know, it's probably the obvious one, but that's purchase hard. Strategically.
But like, so, now, would you say there would be many opportunities now to purchase strategically?
No, I don't think at the moment there are many smart buying opportunities. And I think that that comes down to the whole supply and demand argument as well. I think supply is short at the moment and demand is high. So to find an opportunity to buy strategically, I think would be quite difficult. I mean, in saying that, I bought in March 2020 last year in Sydney, and the house behind me sold a month earlier for $855, and my neighbor sold for $880, and I contacted the agent who ended up speaking to my now owned property. And they ended up selling to me off market for $830.
Okay. Wow.
So, I mean, in that sense, like, you know, that could be seen as a slightly better buying opportunity. But to find those kinds of deals at the moment, I think, are difficult, because any kind of property in a good area, in a good location, there's going to be demand for it. But, you know, if we're talking outside of the current market, I think that that's probably the best way to build equity within a property is to buy strategically, or buy below market value.
Yes.
Or to buy in a property market that is in its, you know, increasing phase, its recovery phase, or you can't ever time the bottom, but is, you know, coming off a boom and is decreasing. So I think in that aspect, it's really important to follow property prices.
Yes. And also macroeconomics and headwinds. You know, I think the number one factor that affects property is interest rates, because the loans are so big nowadays. And I think I read an article and I probably shared it with each other, but, you know, they're forecasting a 15 to 20% drop in house prices because interest rates are forecasted to go up by 2% minimum. Well, the cash rate's going to go up by 2% minimum, right? Interest rates probably more so. But, you know, the RBA are thinking about doing 8 hikes, you know, within the next couple of years. And, you know, think about the amounts of money that people are borrowing to, you know, have family houses. It's really going to stress, I think, a lot of people. And that's something that is not taken into account, I believe, by the wider economy and things like that. But interest rates are definitely a big indicator. When they start going up, that's when property prices slow down a little
bit. Yeah, they start to cool. And I mean, I don't think you can ever time the market perfectly. I think if we could all do that, we'd all be rich. But I think also exploring different markets is smart. So if you think that, you know, I know that Brisbane has had, last year had the best year of all the property markets. So I personally own in Brisbane. And, you know, obviously I benefited largely off that. So I think also, you know, exploring other options when one market doesn't really offer good buying opportunities. If you own an existing property, great ways to build equity would be to, you know, complete minor renovation works, you know, cosmetic, replacement of carpet, painting, whatever it may be.
I always hear the kitchen, the bathroom.
Yeah.
These are the ones that add the most perceived value.
Is correct. That correct? Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, on top of that, you got things like you said, you know, building, you know, a granny flat or doing an extension. This depends on your budget. And then, you know, you've obviously got, if you've got a site that has, you know, a development application potential, looking into doing a DA on the site, you know, things like that, subdividing.
Yes.
And even going as far as knockdown and rebuild. There's so many different ways you can build equity into a property. And it's worth noting that always when you get your house or your property revalued, to, you know, monitor the market, see what's been sold for similar prices in the area, so that are comparable. So, for example, one of my properties in Brisbane, I think it's 3-bed, 1-bath, 1-car on 650 square meters.
Okay.
I think the banks came back and valued it, because the banks will always be conservative.
Yeah.
At something like a 470.
Okay.
But then I kind of did my own research and found that, you know, there was so many neighboring properties that were 311 that were selling for 530 plus. So I took those properties.
Big variance.
Sent it to my broker. He sent it to the bank, and then they came back with a revised value of 530 grand.
Wow. You know?
So I think it's always important to do your research, find out what you think you'll get for your property and go from there.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just shocked that the banks...
Bamboozled.
I am. I've been led astray. No, that the banks, yeah, kind of undercooked your valuation by that much. Because 60,000 on 470,
yeah, is almost like 10%. Banks, plus. You know, prefer to be more conservative. Because, you know, for them, it kind of adds that guarantee or that protection. But, I mean, yeah, and if you go onto a bank and you don't get the value you want, explore other banks, see what bank gives you the best valuation.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there.
Perfect. Cool. So I guess that kind of wraps up, you know, this episode on property equity and looking at pulling the equity from your property. Look, we've both done it, you know. Obviously, you've been more successful at it than I have, right? And it's worked better for you, but, you know, we've both done it. Give me time. But anyway, as we mentioned, look, success, well, before I even say this, it's your own personal circumstance, first and foremost. You need to figure out how you want to play your own finances. And also with, you know, pulling equity, you are taking on more debt, more interest repayments, and more mortgage repayments, which, you know, cash flow is very important. You need to figure that out. But the success from this particular strategy, and it is a very powerful one, you know, generally depends on interest rates. As with, you know, the property game as a whole, if interest rates are low, you know, the cost of debt is low. But if interest rates are high, then, you know, the opportunity cost of, you know, your investment rises, right? If interest rates are 25-30%, I probably wouldn't pull the equity. And I probably would go into cash and try and pay down debt as much as possible. That's if it was 30%. Because 30% of $1 million a year means you're paying $300,000.
Mm.
You know, that's a lot. Like, that's more money than I've seen in my life. But, you know, anyway, I digress. But going back to the point here, you know, when it comes to pulling equity, right, you know, it's almost essential for you to have a plan to know that you can, you know, use that money in a very productive way that's going to beat the interest on it. Because yes, you are taking more debt on, and it is risky whenever you over leverage and take on too much debt. But, you know, otherwise you're best maybe just leaving the cash into the offset, or just not even increasing your loan based on your own factors and your own circumstances. So, you know, this is a strategy like some of the previous episodes we've done, whether it's ethical investing or staking cryptocurrencies. Like, we've looked into these, you know, we've done these strategies as well, but whether it works for you or not, that's for you to decide. And, you know, kind of, you know, it's up to you how you want to play it. But we're just laying out and explaining one of the key ways you can leverage your property's market value and your debt on your property to kind of push your accumulation of, you know, property or other assets easier.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you can find us on Instagram at Simply Investing Podcast.
That's the one.
If you have any questions, send us a DM, or, yep, you know, if you just want to even chat property and tell us about your portfolio or whatever it may be, you know, hit us up, send us a DM. We'd love to chat.
Yep. All the time.
Yeah. If not, we'll see you at the next episode.